These are eggs. Quick whisk, no risk, protein punch, power lunch, bake for dinner, easy winner, fed the lot, hit the spot, eggs. And why pick up more eggs when you're shopping? Because there are more ways to enjoy them. Like bacon and mushroom fried rice with poached eggs, delicious sautéed potatoes with spinach and eggs, or everyone's favourite, a simple cheese omelette for lunch. So versatile, so nourishing. And always choose eggs with a Board Bia quality mark for the highest standards verified at every stage. Eggs, crack on.
This week on Crime World.
There was a Republican police from 1920. I mean, the IRA was effectively trying to run an underground government. And actually, there was a crime wave. 1919, 1920, there's a wave of bank robberies, post office robberies, robberies of individuals, robberies of pubs in Dublin and in rural areas as well. So the IRA tried to actually clamp down on that. They, on occasion, solving bank robberies and giving the money back to the banks. Now,
I'm Nicola Tallant, and you can listen to my podcast, Crime World, wherever you get your podcasts.
On this week's Big Tech Show, how will the latest developments in artificial intelligence affect your life? Will you get new powerful personal assistants? Are you in danger of something terrible happening? We explain what's going on.
Just a couple of weeks ago, Anthropic, which is OpenAI competitor, their startup lab, actually founded by former OpenAI employees, they actually eclipsed GPT-4 only just a couple of weeks ago with their latest model, and the internet went crazy. This is just better than GPT-4 at everything. So OpenAI had to respond to that.
The Big Tech Show, available on all podcast platforms.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.
Wow, who saw that coming? England 23, Ireland 22. Marcus Smith delivers a drop goal at the death to crush Ireland's Grand Slam dreams and send Twickenham into absolute raptures. My name is Rory O'Connor. I'm joined by Cian Tracy. The stadium's emptied, Cian. We're seeing Marcus Smith running around in his jocks down there. He's having a good time. I have to say, my intro of my preview was the best team won today.
Absolutely, yeah. It's hard to argue with that. I think before we go any further, we should absolutely acknowledge that that was an outstanding England performance. A lot of people doubted that they were capable of delivering it, and I would say they silenced a lot of doubters. So it was an absolutely epic game, like a truly, truly remarkable game, I have to say, between two great teams. But the harsh reality for Ireland is they just weren't on it today, were they? They scored a couple of lovely tries, but they weren't allowed to get into their flow, their attacking shape. They didn't get much impact off the bench. Peter O'Mahony's yellow card was seriously, seriously costly. And you'd have to say that going with a 6-2 split today backfired a bit.
Well, that's the risk, I think. I think you're right. I think the word you used there is they weren't allowed to do anything. You know, they weren't allowed to... They played on England's terms. England dominated that first half, 30 minutes of utter domination, and got no reward for it really on the scoreboard. They obviously scored that great try to Ollie Lawrence, which stunned Ireland, but Ireland's defence was magnificent. They hung on in there, and then they kind of managed the game really well. They ticked ahead through Jack Crowley, then they get the try that breaks it wide open, and you think at that stage when Ireland have a 2-score lead they're going to kick on, but really their game management was poor. You're right, the 6-2 split, which is the risk with a 6-2 split, and I'm in favour of going with 6-2, but there is the risk to it. And I don't know if 6-2 is the reason they lost the game, because I think the players who came on, it's not about the number. I'm mixing myself up here, but like Conor Murray passing badly has nothing to do with the 6-2 split. He comes on and he doesn't play well. Peter O'Mahony, I mean, I think there's major doubts about whether he should play against Scotland next week, because that was one of the worst performances he's ever given in an Irish shirt. And that decision to try and chase that Alex Mitchell that time and play him, that costs Ireland so, so dear. Playing with 14 men for 10 minutes in the second half here, it was such a bad decision. It's the second yellow card in the tournament. It's a really poor moment from a player who's supposed to be sending a message to the rest of the team. So I think if they're being really ruthless about their performance, they'll be so critical of themselves. And yet they did so much well to stay in the game. Josh Van der Fleer was magnificent. Tyke Byrne was magnificent. Hugo Keenan, James Lowe scores two
Gibson
tries.
Park did well in the
Jack
wing.
Crowley played well, but he misses two conversions. The problem that we kind of highlighted earlier in the tournament, yeah, they weren't easy. So I suppose maybe we can kind of start our analysis by looking at what England did to shut Ireland down, because this was a different England team than the one we've seen in the first 3 weeks of this tournament.
Yeah, they came hard at the breakdown, didn't they? Like, Ireland just didn't have the quick ball to play off. It was a really messy platform. And any time that they were allowed to get onto the ball, which in the first half in particular was pretty few and far between. So for Ireland to have gone into the break in front, I did think that could have broken England a little bit, because England were so good in that first half. They'd played all the rugby, but to their credit, they came out and found a way to get the job done. I don't think the 6-2 split is the reason they lost. And look, you can't really legislate for losing Calvin Nash so early to a HIA. Thankfully, he was on the bench at the end. He looked to be okay. And then his replacement, Kieran Frawley, goes off with a similar head injury. So look, that's just a freak occurrence. And these are the risks that are attached with going with a 6-2. But even still, you look at the impact that Ireland got from the forwards in particular in Marseille, in Wales, against Wales a couple of weeks ago. They just didn't have that same impact here today. Ian Henderson had a couple of nice moments, but he gives away a penalty then as well. So I think they'll have huge regrets. You touched it there on how their missed game management at the end for a team that is so experienced. And if you had put them in that situation, you would have fancied them to see it out in those last 2 minutes. Elliot Daly misses a long range penalty and you're thinking that might be England's chance gone, and they hung in there. And even if Marcus Smith had missed that drop goal, they were paying off two penalty advantages. Ireland were really struggling to keep them at bay. So I think there's going to be a lot of harsh realities, actually. I think it reminds me of the World Cup quarterfinal a bit, in that this was the big game for them today and they just didn't deliver on what we know they're capable of. It was a similar sort of story against New Zealand. We all know how great Ireland are, but they didn't show up and play that well on the day either. So
I thought they were much better against New Zealand than they were today. I thought I was pretty kinder to them after the New Zealand game, because I could see, you know, I thought that was a game that they put themselves in the hole, but the way they came back into it, they deserve enormous credit for that. But to get ahead twice and lose from a winning position twice against a team who played very well today, but they're better than England. We could, you know, on form and everything we know, the way the players have been playing, they are better than the performance they gave today. And I think a lot of it actually reminds me more of a couple of Leinster's La Rochelle defeats. To get frazzled in that end game is something, like, we talk about Gary Keegan, we talk about the mental skills, that the investment they put into managing their nerves, managing their emotions in big moments. I thought they looked a bit frazzled in the last 10 minutes, and it's some of their most experienced players who looked like they were struggling with the power game of England. And that's what brings me back to O'Mahony. I don't want to hang it all on him. I'm not saying he's the reason they lost, but your captain, your tone setter, he looked all at sea, because England brought such power. You know, they just, from minute one, it was reminiscent of England in the 2019 World Cup semi-final rather than England we've seen for the last couple of years. Like, they get themselves back in such a good position, Keane. You know, they managed that first half. They are the team who came into the game confident. They're going for a Grand Slam. They get themselves in a winning position, and they squander that winning position in that kind of third quarter. What do you think that's down to?
You mentioned Conor Murray there as well. Look, I think he'll be the first to admit that was a poor showing off the bench.
Some of
the passing was really ropey, and it put Ireland under unnecessary pressure. And you think of the stage that Conor Murray's at in his career. This is what he's supposed to be good at, is coming off the bench, bringing that experience, bringing a bit of calm and seeing out wins, whereas it was all too helter-skelter. So I think they'll have big regrets about that. I think we should talk about the set piece. England won a scrum penalty from the first scrum. This is something that we've been talking about all week. The line out again was shaky. There was a couple of brave calls, particularly in the second half, late in the second half, going to the tail. But I made this point, and maybe the video that we were doing yesterday from here, Rudd, I still think there are question marks over this Irish set piece that haven't been answered.
I thought the scrum was dominant. I actually thought Amos Shaqueli didn't give them the reward that they deserved. I thought that first scrum in particular, that should have been a penalty to Ireland. And that's an issue they're repeatedly having with referees, that their dominance isn't being rewarded. And I think if you have a French ref out there today, they maybe get more dominance out of it. I think the line out is the greater issue. At the same time,
it hasn't been solved, though, has it?
No, it hasn't. I mean, England picked three line up forwards, and Ireland, you know, I need to see the stats. I don't think it was a major issue. You know, I think
there wasn't a slick platform,
it wasn't the platform they wanted, but neither was their passing as slick as it normally was. They got knocked off their rhythm. Felix Jones, rush defence, you know, England piling into breakdowns. I think that's more what the way that England got after them. Look, they made it difficult for Dan Sheehan. But like, that throw from Ronan Keller at the end was magnificent. They're able to do it. It's just being able to do it routinely. James Ryan was, well, I was going to say James Ryan was a bit of a loss coming off the bench. So Henderson, you know, he had a massive role in the try. So that was, you know, I wouldn't hold it against him either. But as a collective, we never saw what Ireland wanted to put out there. you know, they were kind of chasing the game all the time and they were never in control. Even when they got two scores ahead, they didn't control the game. I think that's partly down to, like, I thought Crowdy played well, so, but he's the man who's supposed to manage the territory. But I think having Gibson Park out in the wing and Murray playing poorly at nine was a big factor.
The frustrating, well, there's several frustrating things, really, if we're being honest about it, but the couple of tries that they scored were, like, Ireland at their best. And they were quite clinical when they did get the couple of opportunities, but it was so frustrating that they were living off scraps to have to try and create them. And again, you have to give England huge credit. You have to give Felix Jones' defence huge credit, how aggressive they were. Ireland did unpick them brilliantly, and you were kind of thinking they might kick on. But look, we said it a couple of times this week, this England team did have a performance in them. And I know I was saying that I wasn't as confident in terms of beating the spread, but this isn't a poor England team, I don't think. You know, I think it was a little bit overplayed. They did get to a World Cup.
It was an England team playing poorly, and they didn't play poorly today. And Ireland had to be ready for that. And that's one of the big frustrations, that Ireland, you know, Ireland are a team, I think, who were capable of beating good teams playing well. But today they didn't. I mean, George Ford left 7 points on the tee. You know, some of them were very kickable. Obviously, Daly missed that kick as well. I know Crowley left four out there. But really, England should have been more comfortable. And that should have been a bigger win for them. You know, it came down to the last moment, and it's heroic from Smith. But really, they should never have got themselves in that position. And that's, you know, Ireland nearly won a game playing badly. And that happens to good teams. Like, you know, New Zealand on November series, like we think of 2013, they found a way, even when Ireland were the better team that day. England were the better team today, but the great teams find a way. And Ireland didn't find a way today. Maybe that is the, you know, the absence of a Johnny Sexton. Maybe that is the kind of, the fact that this team maybe isn't as good as I thought they were. But there was something missing there out there the whole game.
So obviously Scotland were beaten in Rome today, which meant that any kind of win for Ireland would have won them the Six Nations title. We were all probably expecting Scotland to win in Rome, which would meant that Ireland probably needed a bonus point win to secure the championship. Look, they would have known that result before it kicked off today. Do you think that would have played into the factor, like with a nerves, performance, anxiety, anything like that?
No, I don't think they were going for a title. I think it's going to be really underwhelming. I expect them to beat Scotland next week, and they're going to win the Six Nations because that's all they have to do. But I don't think that's what they were going for this season. I think they wanted to show how good they are and how dominant they are. Like, they've absolutely cruised through this championship, and a bit like the World Cup when they cruised through the pool stage, they got undone when the chips were down. And look, it's a massive, massive learning experience for them, that win or learn. They always talk about their learnings after these things.
It's a reality check as well.
It's a massive reality check.
There's a lot of smoke being blown where the sun don't shine about Ireland being, you know, one of the best teams of this generation. It's been overall, today was an epic game, but this Six Nations has been pretty poor standard, you have to say, across the board. So,
and that was the best quality game.
Yeah, absolutely. And the game in Rome was a cracker as well in a different kind of way. But this is a reality check for Ireland. This is a team who were knocked out in the World Cup quarterfinal. I was a little uncomfortable with the kind of narrative that's been going around that they're the best team in the world. Like, I don't necessarily agree with that. South Africa are the World Cup champions. New Zealand beat them in the World Cup quarterfinal. This is still, you know, life after Johnny Sexton. And maybe, like you said, maybe we saw a little bit of that lack in experience today. So I think it's a reality check for where Ireland are. This doesn't make them a poor team by any means, and they will most likely still win a Six Nations, but I think it keeps it's a reminder maybe of where they are.
Well, I think it doesn't make them a bad team by any means. I think they're still one of the top three or four teams
absolutely,
in the world.
Yeah.
I think what happened today was England joined the party and England came up to that level. Now, whether they can stay at that level consistently, England should be at that level. England should be in that conversation. So there is, you have to factor that in. England played really well. England brought their best, like New Zealand brought their best performance of an entire era to that quarterfinal. I think England brought their best performance.
But my point is, like, Ireland didn't bring their best.
No, no, they were far from it.
Or today.
No.
Which, that is concerning. You know, these are the big away tests that Ireland knew they were going to face. And that was the point I was making. Similarly to the quarterfinal, they didn't show up when they needed
their
best.
The same players, when they're playing for Leinster in finals, have had the same experiences. So there is question marks there. And we've lauded Andy Farrell and the way he's built the team mentally. And look, one win doesn't make them a bad team. But I think he will face questions now about the way the team handled themselves in those pressure moments. And they were probably more composed against New Zealand when they almost found a way to win. Whereas today, they got themselves in that position and they kicked the ball away. Those decisions by Conor Murray to kick the box six and try and play territory at the end of the game. Like, I think it would have been silly probably to play in your own 22. But given how good Ireland are at keeping the ball, was there an argument for trying to keep it Or was there, you know, they've had the best defence in the championship so far. Was there an argument for just getting into England and trying to force a mistake?
And James Lowe at one point as well kept the ball on the pitch with a big long range kick from deep inside his 22 when we were both kind of looking at each other going, get that ball off the pitch. So there were several players, I would say, making uncharacteristic errors in terms of that game management. It doesn't just fall on, you know, Conor Murray or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's absolutely eclectic. And it was a bit of a malaise, you'd have to say, because it spread through the team. And you've kind of touched on it now. Like, next week had been billed as, you know, the Grand Slam party. There is still a Six Nations title to be won. And if they win it, look, you can't. Like, it's still going to be an amazing achievement. But there will be a slight asterisk beside it because this team have set such high standards for themselves that they believe the Grand Slam was there.
And like, Six Nations titles are not to be sniffed at. But yes, this was a season where Ireland had a Grand Slam within their capability. They had a Grand Slam within their grasp as they went into injury time here. And they let it slip. And that's, you know, it's a 1-point defeat to an England team who gave a brilliant performance, but it's still deeply disappointing for them. The Scotland game, like, it's going to be hard to pick this team up now. It's a real challenge for Andy Farrell, and he's got a couple of big decisions to make.
A couple of injuries as well. I mean, we obviously don't know. We're going to go down to the press conference now shortly and hear the latest on Calvin Nash and Kieran Frawley, but you'd imagine Gary Ringrose will certainly come back into the team, whether that's on the wing next week. But I think maybe the performance stage, there's probably justifiable calls to freshen up, maybe even a couple of guys in the pack. You mentioned Ryan Baird, but it'd be a big call to drop your captain. So look, there's plenty to get
that's
stuck in for the week
the
ahead.
Books. Yeah. So we're going to have to talk to Andy Farrell now. We might find out what he was having a row with Steve Borthwick before halftime. One of the more interesting side points. But thanks for joining us today. A disappointing day for Ireland here in London, but it is still a Six Nations to be won next weekend, and we'll be bringing you all the latest news on the Irish Independent website and in print over the next couple of days. Thanks for joining us.